Okay. It's 1 o'clock now. And I think we be respectful of everyone's time. We really need to get started on time. So I want to go ahead and get started now, and I want to welcome everybody to our IL forum. First thing I'd like to do is start with introductions. Let's just take a few minutes. I want to pull out here. I would like to have a start with Emily. Can you introduce yourself and get us started, Emily?
Well, thanks, Kim. I'm Director Emily Wharton.
All right, thank you. Julie, you're next on my list. Are you still with us?
Yep, I'm with you. Hi, I'm Julie Skinner. I'm the IL Secretary.
Thank you. Susan. Oh, maybe she had a pop out. I see her screen is black. Let's come back to Susan. She might have had to pop out. Lori.
Yes, my computer was not cooperating. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Can you just introduce yourself and share your position here with the department?
Yes, my name is Lori Berglund. I'm an independent living rehabilitation teacher, and I serve clients in 18 counties in northwest, north central Iowa.
Great. Thank you, Lori. Mark.
Hi, I'm Mark Edge. I'm an independent living rehabilitation teacher. My service region is here in central Iowa. I share Polk County with another teacher and serve five other central Iowa counties.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Susan, I think you're back with us. Can you introduce yourself if you can hear me? Maybe she's having technical difficulties. Yeah, I think she is. She just popped out again. Susan Howard, I'm just going to give her a chance to try this again. So we'll move on to Alyssa. Alyssa, yep. Are you? There yep. You are.
I'm Alyssa Munsterman, and I also cover Polk County with Mark. And then my service region is 15 counties from Polk and then going down to the southern border.
Okay, great. Thank you. Kelsey.
I'm Kelsey Hansen. I am also an independent living rehabilitation teacher. I cover roughly 18 counties in the northeast Iowa region.
Okay, Monica. Thank you, Kelsey. Monica, did we hit you already? I don't think we did.
Oh, not yet. I'm Monica Vineski. I'm also an independent living rehabilitation teacher. I service a little bit of northwest Iowa, central west Iowa, and southwest Iowa.
Thank you. We're going to try Susan Howard one more time. I know she's with us. I just don't know if she is able to. Susan? Okay, so I'll introduce Susan. She is an independent living rehabilitation teacher serving southeast Iowa. She also is currently helping to pinch hit the eastern Iowa corridor until we replace, or actually we have, and I'll talk a little bit about this a little bit later, and getting our new IL teacher up and running in that eastern Iowa corridor. Susan must be having some technical difficulties, so hopefully
hey, Greg,
we'll...
you got a minute?
Oh.
I can't get my sound to work. I'm supposed to be in a Zoom meeting.
So we can hear Susan right now.
Give me some suggestions.
So,
no. That I've tried. I've got off and got back on.
Okay, so we're hearing her now.
I don't know. So how do I do that? Go up here to
Mark. Do you want to go ahead and text her and let her know?
Yes, I did do that.
Thank you. Yes.
And it has a little thing and it says fail to detect speaker. So I went into, and it says, make sure your speaker's connected properly. I went into my control panel and went to sound.
She has a pair of headphones when she plugs it in.
And it said, I have no sound, which I knew. It says no output devices found. I tried to troubleshoot and it just said you need a new app. To open this missed contact support link.
Let me see. I think I have a way. Did you? Not sure. No.
Under.
I don't see that I have a way to mute her.
I was able to do that. I think, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Thank you. Okay.
How can they hear me, but I can't hear them?
Oh,
she's unmuted.
Yeah.
Can you try to remute her again, Julie? Oh, there we go. Thank you. Okay. I think everybody's been introduced except for me, and I'll hit me in the end. So could we hear from some guests now? Carol Flickinger.
Click Carol Flickinger from Rockwell City.
Thank you. Jim Rickamer. You would need to unmute, Jim, if you're able. Can we help Jim to unmute? I don't think I have that capacity, Julie.
Yeah, there's a button that says ask to unmute, and I just clicked that.
Okay. So, Jim, we know you're with us, and we just want to welcome you and appreciate you being here with us today. We're going to go ahead and move on to Michael Bergen.
Good afternoon. It's Mike Bergen. I'm a state representative, and I'm just wanted to listen in on what you had to present.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much for being with us. We appreciate it. We also have someone with a number of 712-263-2851.
Yeah, that's John Hansen from Denison.
Oh, welcome, John. Yes, yeah. Welcome. Thank you for coming. We appreciate that very much. Absolutely. It's good to hear your voice.
Long time since I talked to you.
Yeah, absolutely. John was one of our former ILAC members, and we're so glad you and Carol both are here to participate today. So my name is Kim Walford. I'm the program administrator for the Independent Living Program. We're so happy that all of you have joined today. So, I think I've gotten everybody. Have I missed anyone?
Yes, Marcella.
Oh, Marcella. I'm so
That's
sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
Too many names up here. So thank you, Marcella. Go right ahead.
That's okay. I'm Marcella Edmonds. I am the resource specialist. I do all the intakes, referrals for vocational rehabilitation and independent living.
Yes, thank you. And certainly Marcella is very much more important than I am here, because without Marcella, this place does not run. So thank you, Marcella. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Did I forget anyone else? All right. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here today. I do want to open up our session with public comment. Is there anyone who has anything that they'd like to share with us today? Okay. Well, please keep in mind that just because we don't hear anything right now, it doesn't mean that you can't provide us with your feedback or input. We're always looking for ways to improve our services here. in independent living. We're always wanting to hear from you, so please do not hesitate to contact me or Emily at any time. So we're going to continue to move forward, and we're going to open up here with our director, Emily, and have her give a quarterly update. So take it away, Emily.
Well, thank you very much, Kim. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of a new Zoom setup I'm trying out, so I always have to test. I'm going to start out with an exciting announcement that is also a bit of an apology to everybody at this particular meeting. The good news is that we have hired a new chief information officer. Connie Mendenhall has come into that role starting basically September 30th. And so she's been in that position for about 6 weeks now. She totally hit the ground running, has already taken on several really great initiatives and done a lot of work to get the PSAs that the Independent Living Program has created out to iHeartRadio stations within central Iowa in the Ames area and Des Moines Metro. So we're really excited about that. And also just got a number of irons in the fire in different projects for outreach, speaking engagements, for just increasing awareness of IDB services and all we have to offer. And so it is really going to be, I think, an excellent asset in that role. But I'm very sorry that we did steal her from the independent living program and as being a teacher there. So I'll let Kim talk more about the filling of that position. But we're really, really happy to have Connie as a member of our leadership team. And she's already been doing some really great things to get us more out there and let folks know what we have to offer for services across the board. So I'm going to try and get through this next part without tearing up. So one thing that I need to share with folks is that our longtime commission board chair, a dear mentor and friend to our agency and to myself and Sandra Ryan, has entered hospice care and has been battling cancer for about a year and is, you know, in hospice care now. So that our thoughts and prayers are with her and her husband Kent and their family. And, you know, to try and talk about the things that Sandy has done for our agency over the years, it's a lot. I always feel like I understate how much work she does. It's been extraordinarily helpful to have a commission board member who could edit policies. And she did a large amount of Braille proofreading, volunteering in the library, and has just been a volunteer in many, many different capacities for many years, particularly since she retired. And I think about the early teens, somewhere around there, when she retired from the Department of Health, where she's worked as a dietitian for many years, she's been putting a lot of effort towards volunteering for the Iowa Department for the Blind. And I just, we can't thank her enough for her many years of service. So that is going to leave another potential opening on our commission board, as folks may or may not know, because I'm not sure exactly the timing of when this came out versus this meeting. We have another opening on the board. Commissioner Geneva Jacobs had needed to step down. And so we are possibly in a situation where we will only have one board member for our December meeting, but I have been in contact with the governor's office and they're hoping to make an appointment before that meeting. It may or may not be possible, but regardless, we don't have any business that needs to be taking place in December that pressing that we can't push it back to March. There's nothing too overwhelming there, but we are hoping that we do get another commissioner in place for that meeting. And that meeting can go on a schedule. It is a three-member commission, and so we do need two people for quorum. We've had a number of folks who have been trying to get the word out to folks to make sure that be aware that there are openings on the commission board, and that a number of folks have put applications into the system. It's not too late to do that, because we will have the two openings, and then Commissioner Ryan Brems will be retiring as he has moved out of state. So his term will end in May, and so there will be a third position then. So there's a lot of opportunities. We do have a lot of people who have already completed the application, but there's always, you know, room for more options for the governor's office to choose from. So I'd encourage folks to apply if that is something that you feel you could serve well. If folks have questions about that, I've got a cheat sheet that I share with the potential board members and board members about all the responsibilities and the giving some background information on open meetings laws, etc. And I'd be happy to share that or talk through anything, questions that folks have about board membership and how one could become a member of the Iowa Commission for the Blind. And for folks who don't know that we are overseen by a three-member commission. They decide our policy, they hire the director, they take public feedback and comment during their meetings that are held quarterly, at least quarterly, sometimes more, to deal with other points of business. But it's definitely a commitment to be able to serve on the board. We've had really great luck with having really fabulous board members who have, you know, given extra of their time in terms of, you know, helping to edit things or discuss, or not discuss, but look, serve as mentors in the center in business classes and things like that. And so there's a lot of potential for it can be a lot of work or it can be less work, but you know, the more service we get out of our board members, with all our volunteers, we really do get great value for our volunteers who work with us. A number of those folks are in the library, but there's a lot of other opportunities to volunteer with IDB. We're always looking for, particularly within the independent living program, looking for folks who are wanting to be volunteer drivers or, you know, different opportunities. We're happy to, you know, share those with anyone who's interested. Go to our webpage. It's blind.iowa.gov/volunteer. And there's always links on the front page too. So lots of opportunities there. And if there's folks that job positions that we don't have listed that think, how can I help out with this? Yeah, let us know. We want to definitely talk with folks and explore opportunities, because we've really greatly benefited over the years from all that our volunteers have brought to us. I wanted to talk a little bit about our budget request that was submitted to the governor's office at the end of September and approved by the commission board at the September 20th board meeting. And so to kind of just rough overview of what we are asking for this year, we're asking for a small increase, about $71,000 in state appropriation to cover rising personnel costs, cost of living and different things are going up. So the state portion of that is about $71,000. And that's part one of our ask. Parts 2, 3, and 4 are different portions of support for our library. So part 2 is support for our Instructional Materials Center staff. Those are the folks who put all the orders together, get everything organized, shipped out, build properly, everything put together to make the Accessible Materials Center happen. And so that's to support some of their salaries and moving forward. The third and fourth parts are to cover the cost of materials for students in K-12 education to be able to continue to provide that service without passing that on to the school districts. What in the past, we received a contract from the Department of Education for the personnel costs and for the costs and materials. And so when a student needed some Braille or some large print, they would put in an order and that would be sent to them, and then we would bill the Department of Education. That those contracts were discontinued or are being discontinued after this year. And so we are in a transition period where we are searching for funding sources to be able to pay for that. The cost of the materials has been passed on to the districts from the Department of Education. They made this announcement pretty late in the process on July 20th. And so we've been subsidizing the cost of the materials for the schools because we had concerns that orders would be canceled and kids would not get the Braille and the accessible and the materials that they would need. And so we've created a memorandum of understanding with the individual districts, and we are subsidizing those costs. We're continuing to work with the Department of Education to cover our costs of the personnel for this year. We're working on a contract with them and hoping to get that finalized here. But after this year, we would like to be able to support this program just with direct support from the legislature, if that is something that they see fit to do. It would really decomplicate the process and ensure that kids who need these accessible materials are getting them. We've had situations where there was an order placed, the district found out they had to pay, the order got canceled. And we don't want that. Kids do not get the Braille. Sometimes they've been having paras do the Brailling just running it through software. And that's really going to cause you a lot of problems in things like math and science. It's not a great situation. It's a bit of all over the place. So so that is what we've included in our request to the governor's office for our state fiscal year 24 budget. So we're hoping that will be included. And are there any questions that folks have about any of all that? Did I put everybody to sleep?
So Emily, this is Marcella. I have a question. So mm-hmm. Are they having problems also, the same problems as the Braille students with the large print students?
Yeah, we've had the same issues. We had somebody who was, not to get into too many of the details of the things, but we've been told when folks are now an audio learner that weren't in the past. Just to avoid the purchase of materials.
Okay.
So we'd like to make that not an issue. We just want to make sure that the blind kids get their materials at the same time and the same quality as their sighted classmates. Mm-hmm. And so our library staff is amazing and completely excited to do that every day. We've instituted a new computer system called Athena for order tracking, and we're instituting a piece to that for a vendor interface so that we can automate a lot of this, the ordering process, and make it as simple and easy as possible for the school districts. We don't want there to be any friction that keeps students from getting the materials that they need. So mm-hmm. Our library team has been working incredibly hard to put this together over the past year. And so I'm hoping that we can have the financial support from the legislature to keep it going in state fiscal year 24.
Okay. So those students that's getting audio now instead of large print or Braille, who is recording those textbooks?
Don't know. I don't know that they're necessarily getting them recorded either. They might be using them on, you know, just using speech to text, text to speech on the computers.
Okay.
You know, it's a real hodgepodge of different techniques involved, which is generally fine, except that, you know, because it's good to learn how to do things in a lot of different ways, but when, you know, I think textbooks are a real basic expectation for students in school that you should be able to get the same textbooks as the other folks in your class. I don't think that's an unreasonable expectation. And we can make that happen. We just need to be given the support to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Are there any other questions for our Director Emily?
Well, thank you, Kim.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your time and providing us with a nice update there for this quarter. So next on the agenda would be my update. I'm just going to give an overview, administrative overview. The teachers will be doing more of what's happening on the ground in their particular regional service areas. So I first want to start out by sharing that administration for community living, and I'll refer to them in going forward as ACL, they're with Health and Human Services, sent out a notice to Amy Robas, who is the state independent living director now, that they sent updates and options regarding our new fiscal year state plan for independent living, and that is called the SPIL, S-P-I-L. And so that actually is going to be delayed. Instead of being due June 30th of 2023, they're saying now it won't be due until June 30th of 2024. And so the options that they've set out to the Independent Living Network, and the network includes the State Independent Living Council, the Centers for Independent Living around the state, Iowa Vocational Rehabilitation Services, and Iowa Department for the Blind Independent Living Programs. So we are the network. We have basically two options. SILC and the centers can do a technical amendment to the current SPIL, and again, that's the state plan for independent living, which means they just essentially have to adjust the date and update whoever the new chair is, et cetera. And everything in the current SPIL then stays the same for this next year. Or they can do a substantial amendment to the plan. And by doing a substantial amendment, that would require substantial effort, requiring that the amendment includes public input and rewriting the goals. Now, we have an upcoming meeting, November 30th, and then SILC has their annual meeting the very next day, which is December 1st, where they're going to be discussing these matters and what direction to take. So right now, I do not have an answer for anybody today if you were to ask me what direction is going to be taken. If I were a betting person, I would probably say option one, but I honestly do not know what they're going to want to do. They may go with option two. So I will know more after they meet in December, if they just are going to do a technical amendment or the substantial amendment. So that's really all I can report out on that piece. in speaking to this, I also want to share that our annual federal reporting is coming due. Rehabilitation Service Administration, RSA, will be due, well, technically on the 31st, but because that falls on a Saturday, it will need to be entered into our system by Friday, December 30th. So I'll ensure that that is finalized by or before that date. Again, Administrative for Community Living, as has been done in the past, our data is sent to the State Independent Living Council Director, which is Amy, and she will enter the information into the ACL data portal. Now, of interest, ACL is putting together a new data portal. It's called the Q90 portal. So that new portal will not be completed until April of 2023. My assumption is they still have their old portal available for everyone to enter, but I do not have access to that portal. They continue to let the SOAP directors have access to that portal. And so Amy is the one that where I submit, where the director of IVRS submits, or at least Vienna will submit her data to Amy, and then they put that information in. We have found historically that when we submit our success stories, those are typically edited because there's not enough room in their portal. So if I submit two success stories, those typically will be truncated to maybe downsize it to one instead of two. And that's always how it has been. I'm hoping that this Q90 system will allow more room when we submit our stories, because they're asking us for success stories. Submit a couple, we do, but then they can't actually hold that much data. I do not have any current date as to when Amy wants this information. She did look to me for guidance as to when it was submitted previously, and I have shared information with her about when the previous director expected the data to be due to her, and that was primarily because the previous director would go on vacation around December 15, so we had to have it submitted early on in December. So I'm not sure what Amy is going to decide, but she may want us to have the ACL portion submitted by December 5th through 10th. Again, we have not gotten any information as to when she wants us to submit that data, so I'm still waiting. So I wanted to give you an update about that. I thought you might have an interest in knowing that we received, we've compiled our survey results from last year. So I was excited to share with you today that information after reviewing it, that 100% of the surveys that came in, or 100% of those surveyed reported to us that they did feel that our services were adequately explained. 100% of those surveys reported, 100% of those surveys reported that services were delivered timely. 100% of those surveyed reported that teachers listened to their ideas and involved them in planning their services. 100% of those surveyed received the kind of training they desired and felt it did help them meet their needs. 100% of those surveyed reported that they were provided the information and resources to other agencies. 100% of those surveyed reported they felt better about themselves after participating in our program services. 96.7% of those surveyed reported that they felt better about further felt that they further felt better after participating in our program services. So basically one person said, yeah, I'm not so sure, maybe a little bit better, but not fully 100%. 96.7% said that they reported they were able to maintain or gain independence as a result of our program services. Former clients ranked the most valuable service they received was that developing a more positive attitude about themselves and their blindness, followed by the training that they received and information coming in third, information about other services and resources. So that's how they ranked it. I do want to share three comments. There were multiple comments that were made from the survey, but here were three of them that I want to share with you. One of the first comments was, and I did take the teacher's name out, my teacher was wonderful and became my friend. My teacher listened to my needs and helped me meet my needs, going above and beyond to help me figure out and gave me the confidence I needed to do the things on my own and more independently. My teacher is a great teacher. Second comment, my teacher is top-notch, patient, knowledgeable, and fostered independence. I gained confidence and knowledge. And the last comment was, I gained a new outlook, more positive mostly, new friends, a separate new family, people I can talk with and relate to about common things. And I believe that comment more than likely came from somebody that participated in our IL integration. I'm speculating based on how the comment came in. So now I want to report on the position that Emily talked about, Connie, who is our new Chief Information Officer. And I was very, very excited about Connie being promoted. Honestly, who wants to lose all of the staff here in IL? They're all outstanding. And who wants to lose an outstanding staff member? But also at the same time, you want to see your outstanding staff person have an opportunity to be promoted when they have that chance, that potential chance. And so what I seen in Connie was an opportunity what I see in a lifetime that many people don't have that opportunity. So I was so pleased that Emily interviewed her and that she has this opportunity now to be our Chief Information Officer. And I'm just so very proud of what she's doing to help move us forward in this agency. Well, that did leave a huge opening in our program, but one that we were able to fill right away. We had over 500 people that looked at the position and several who actually applied for the position. We were very fortunate to be able to fill that position very quickly. Quinn Haverill applied for the position, one of many, and he really was best suited out of all of the applicants that applied. And it was a very hard decision, but we made it, and Quinn will be starting his new position officially on Friday the 25th. Although we will be closed that day, his first day of training will be Monday, November 28th. Now, after he finishes his training internally, there's a lot of preparatory things that he needs to do. We'll start training him in the field as soon as we can to take over that Eastern Iowa corridor, which includes Tama, Benton, Lynn, Jones, Jackson, Poweshiek, Iowa, Johnson, Cedar, and Clinton counties. And really, thanks to Susan Howard and Kelsey Hansen, which I truly appreciate the teamwork there, they're covering these counties until we can get Quinn in place. And Mark, Susan, and Kelsey will also be helping me to provide that hands-on training, helping Quinn to learn the ropes. What does it mean to be an IL teacher? You know, Quinn is coming in with a lot of experience as a vocational rehabilitation teacher, but the positions are, if you will, different in some aspects. And so getting a perspective from an IL teacher will greatly help Quinn and move him into what I hope will be, he'll be a stellar IL teacher. We're very excited to have him on board. So we can't wait to have him start on Monday, the 28th. I continue to interact and participate fully in all of the State Independent Living Council meetings that occur. I do know that they're looking and they've been surveying how frequently they're meeting. And I participated in a survey to see, you know, are they going to continue to meet the same days? The same with Olmstead. I continue to meet. Since that is a mandated, governor mandated meeting, I continue to participate in those meetings. With Olmstead, there is a lot of focus with Linda Fandel from Health and Human Services reporting out on the Iowa Medicaid waivers and trying to ensure that people are being served promptly and appropriately. There is a lot of discussion around that and ensuring that people are receiving appropriate services and moving folks in the direction where they can live independently. So there is a lot of discussion around that. I do want to mention that there was an article recently posted that Iowa Medicaid did receive a national recognition award. It was a bipartisan nonprofit professional organization that represented leaders of the Iowa Medicaid across the country in different territories that presented this award. Iowa Health and Human Services was awarded the 2022 NAMD Spotlight for their innovation and efforts. As most of you know, Director Kelly Garcia is now charged to manage Health and Human Services. There's a lot of information that's published out there as to what they're doing over there. And so if you're interested, you can take a look at that and see what changes are being made in that agency. Like I said, I do know that Olmstead is something that I attend. I know that they're always looking for new members all the time. If you have an interest in representing Olmstead, I would encourage that you go to their website. They are always looking to have folks apply to become a participating and voting member. The same with the Iowa Silk. If you have an interest, please consider throwing your name in the hat. If there's anything I can do to answer any questions or direct you to the right person that they can answer your questions, feel free to reach out to me. My number is 515-250-1184, or just give me an email at kim.walford at blind.state.ia.us. And so I'm open to answer questions before we move on to the next section of our agenda. Any questions? Well, thank you so much for letting me share this information. And at this time, then, we will move on, and we'll open up then with IL teacher Lori Berglund. Do you want to give us an update, Lori, for your region?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. So it's been a pretty busy quarter. I have had the opportunity to speak with two Kiwanis groups, one Rotary Club and a support group in Northwest Iowa. I am working to support a group of clients that I have in Spirit Lake who want to start a support group up there. I have had 7 clients who successfully completed their objectives and 6 new clients who are starting to work on plans. One of the things I'm looking forward to is IL integration and being able to get some of my clients to Des Moines so that they can meet others and improve their skills and independence. I have had an opportunity to stop and visit with 4 optometry offices in the area, providing our new brochures and business cards. I've worked with some clients and referred them to some energy assistance programs and to the affordable connectivity program for internet access or cell phones. So we've been really busy, but it's been a really good fall. And now we're looking into winter and spring and getting some CBT scheduled, just keeping things moving.
Thank you, Lori. Okay, next, Mark.
Hello, everyone. As Lori said, it has been a very busy fall. In August, I was asked by the Ames Low Vision Support Group to provide a program at one of their meetings about IDB services, and I also took a lot of aids and devices to show and tell. In October, I did an in-service for the staff at the Gardens of Luther Park. This is an assisted living facility with memory care, and they had just had a blind resident move in, and so they were anxious to learn more about blindness. On November 28th, I have a speaking engagement at the Spring Valley Assisted Living in Perry, which is in Dallas County. In October, I completed my 5-year continuing education requirement in the Blindness Empowerment and Independence Center. For our guests, this is a policy of IDB for all instructors to do this continuing education requirement, and I'm happy to report to everyone I met all of my objectives in each of the classes. can verify how smooth my cutting board was that I made in shop class. Also in October, I had 2 clients attend the IL Integration Week. One, it was his first time attending, and for my other client, it was her second time, and she served as a mentor for the group that week, and both reported very positive experiences. Last week, I attended a Lifelong Links Advisory Board meeting. This is an advisory board that Kim and I represent the department on, and it's comprised of human service providers here in Central Iowa, and it's facilitated by Aging Resources of Central Iowa, which is this area's area agency on aging. And the program last week was given by a employment specialist who works for Aging Resources. And I had no idea that all area agencies on aging employ a employment specialist. And something else I learned from that program was that, you know, they can work in conjunction with a vocational rehabilitation counselor. But one of the benefits by having their involvement in a case is that once the VR counselor closes a client's case, that client can continue with 12 more months of support through the Area Agency on Aging's employment specialist. So that was very interesting to learn. And then I continue to work closely with the Blindness Empowerment Support Team of Greater Des Moines, a support group that meets here at the department once a month on the third Thursday of the month. And they do meet by telephone every Thursday, every other Thursday of each month. And that is open to anybody who would like to participate. So because it's by phone, it can be people who live all across Iowa. So Just want to give them a shout out, and they're doing a great job. And we're looking forward to the December in-person meeting. And I have some new clients who are interested in joining that group. So hope to connect them for the December meeting. And other than that, I've enjoyed a little break. My partner, Alyssa, here in Polk County, she's been taking most of the referrals from this last quarter for Polk County because building up her caseload size. But now we're pretty equal in our caseload. So kudos to Alyssa for getting slammed with a bunch of referrals. She's done a great job. So, but I kind of appreciated the little break from all those referrals, which allowed me to work on these other things. So that's about it for me. Are there any questions from anybody? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And I just wanted to follow up on that cutting board. I want everybody to know that I couldn't bribe him out of that cutting board, but it is absolutely gorgeous. He did a really nice job in shop with that cutting board. So thank you, Mark. All right, next on the list, we have our Marcella. Can you give us an update?
Hello, everyone. Today, my report, I'm going to give, I am the resource specialist, as I said before earlier when I was introducing myself. And the month of September, I passed on 16 referrals to IL. The month of October, it was 21. And so far this month is 7. And for VR referrals that I passed on in September, it was 23 referrals. In October, it was 17, and in November, it was 12 so far. And this is not counting referrals that I send to the library, because sometimes I'll get phone calls and people want library services, and I pass those referrals on also. And for phone calls that I've received, a variety of phone calls, that it's everything up under the sun besides IL and VR. For the month of September, it was 63, and the month of October, it was 40. And so far this month, as I have said, I've had 17 phone calls. And then also, I also assist with the special project with calling people for that IL survey that Kim talked about earlier. And that's my report for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Marcella. Appreciate it. Ms. Kelsey.
So I have been pretty busy. I've had a lot of new applications come through, which has been great. I'm seeing a lot of people from areas of Iowa that I've not seen before. So that's kind of cool. I did a speaking engagement up in Clear Lake in September. Had a pretty good turnout there, a lot of interest there. And then I did a kind of in-service speaking engagement with some nursing students at Allen College. So I'm continuing that partnership with Allen Nursing College to kind of bring awareness of blindness and, to the new nurses. I also helped to kind of plan and facilitate part of the IL integration week in October, and I also had a client attend that. And so that was really kind of exciting and pretty cool to see. And then I am working on a community-based training here in January, that's going to take place in Waterloo. And that's about it. Just been real busy with the new referrals and speaking engagements and, all sorts of things. So any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kelsey. We have Ms. Susan.
Hi, good afternoon. Some of what everybody else has said, been busy with
some new referrals. My area has been kind of slow in the past year, but things are picking up. Burlington, especially, I'm getting more referrals in that area. As Kim said, I've been helping cover Connie's area, so that's been keeping me busy, getting reacquainted with Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. Been able to close a couple of Connie's cases, close some of mine that have been open since pre-COVID, and so seeing them move along and having the opportunity to close those. Working on a couple of community-based trainings, hopefully one in Davenport, and then Kelsey and I are talking about maybe doing something after the first of the year up in Cedar Rapids. So I think that's it.
Thank you. Hey, Miss Alyssa, you are up.
Okay. Kind of like what Kelsey earlier, she was one of the teachers with me that did the planning of and facilitating this year's senior integration that took place the last week of October. It was a small but mighty group, but it was a great time. I think they had a great experience. We learned a lot from them too, especially with the after, kind of like the end interview of things that can also improve if we, you know, just to make things even better than it already is, which was great feedback. Also in October, I took one of my clients that's part of that BEST support group here in Des Moines to the accessible voting event there at the Park Fair Mall. And that was a great experience. And that was just fun seeing a lot of iCub members there and other people. And I think it was facilitated by Central Iowa Center for Independent Living, CISL. So I met some of those people that work there. And also Mary Frances with IRIS was also kind of volunteering there as well. So it's fun to work with her. Mark and I hope to do like a CBT, hopefully after the holidays, probably the beginning of January kind of thing too, with, you know, with all the holidays kind of running together, people are busy and family things. So, yeah, I'm just been getting a lot of referrals, which as Mark said, and October was really busy with referrals. Now it's kind of slowed down. I mean, I'm still getting them on a regular basis, of course, but I think I got like 10 or 12, seems like, on October. So that was really busy. So I have a few already in November, but it's been great. Love meeting the new clients and working with them. So that's about all I have to report.
Thank you, Alyssa. And I think it's not uncommon for the Polk County, Warren County area to get a lot of referrals historically. It has been, and I think this, if you will, I don't know if COVID will ever go away, you know, indefinitely, but post-COVID, if I can say that in a way, I think we're going to see more pickup. And we know that Connie, our chief information officer, has been out talking with the radio stations, getting iHeartRadio to advertise, not only here in Des Moines, but in the Ames area. So I think what we're probably going to see is an uptick of more than likely more referrals. And as Emily and Connie do more strategizing with how can we promote our agency as a whole, which includes our division, and more radio stations get the message out about us, you know, I think we're going to see an uptick overall statewide, you know, because many times when we get those calls, and I think Marcella might have heard this before on the phone, I know I've heard it many times, you're the best kept secret, but yet I know that you all are out there doing that outreach and you all are talking with people, you know, in the public about what we're doing, you know, and I know we're a small but mighty crew, but we can't be everywhere all at once. And so not everybody may hear about us. So I really appreciate having that chief information officer to try to fill in those blanks with us, you know, fill in those holes, if you will. And I think it was a great thing that she did by hitting those radio stations and for them to offer us that free airspace, you know, that free time. So you all will probably see more of an uptick on you, at least here in this area, and until we can get more free radio time. So thank you for sharing that, Alyssa. Okay, Miss Monica, it's your turn.
Hello. Well, I've got going on a lot of what the others have already talked about too, in that I did two public speakings in the Sioux City area at senior apartments. They went really well, and I got some referrals out of those. I have a third in the works for Council Bluffs, and those are the two areas I'd say in my region that have I would say exploded, because I think over the last year or two with COVID, there's referrals coming in, but they're kind of trickling in. This quarter alone, I think I've gotten at least 10 new referrals. So I've been working on those as they come in, and I have closed about 6% people's files or cases so far this quarter. I'm thinking after the first of the year of maybe setting up a CBT and start looking into interest in that. I have my training coming up, like Mark just finished, sometime in the after the new year or in the spring. Has not been set up quite yet at the time frame. And I was in Des Moines helping with the senior integration that last week in October as well. And I have an in-service coming up right after the Thanksgiving holiday. So that's about all I have.
Right. Thank you, Monica. I appreciate that update. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is the end of the updates for the IL teacher and our resource specialist, Ms. Marcella. I am going to open it for questions from our public and from anyone else here on our panel. Does anyone have any questions, comments, suggestions for us, anything?
Kim, this is Carol. Yes, I just wanted to thank everybody for all your hard work, because I know with the pandemic and all that, everything was crazy. And you guys kept working and getting the word out and helping people. And I really appreciate all that.
Thank you, Carol. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that. Very much appreciated. Anyone else? Well, we certainly appreciate everybody joining today. We would like everybody to share the news about our IL forum. This is your forum. It is not our forum. It is the public's forum. So please share this with your friends. Let them know that our next independent living forum, when I looked at my calendar, if I read it correctly, should be Wednesday, February 8th. You can sign up through Gov Delivery. And if you need any further information on this, please feel free to reach out to our support staff, Julie Skinner, here at the department, and she can help to provide support or guidance on any of this information as well. So February 8th at 1:00, we will meet again for the next Independent Living Forum. And do please help us spread the word about this forum, because this is your program. It doesn't belong to us. We work for you. And we want to do the very best we can in the delivery of services for blind Iowans. So if there's no other comments or suggestions or feedback for today, we can move forward to adjourn. But I do want to just one more time, anything else? Does anybody have anything further to share before we sign off? Okay, this is being recorded. As everybody knew when you joined, this will be turned into a podcast and will be posted on our website. So at a later date, anybody can listen to it. Thank you all for joining, and we are adjourned. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.